Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on your Sunday afternoon or your evening, depending on which coast you're on. Jamal, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, man. Is your Sunday going good?
So far, so good, brother.
All right, all right. Well, we got a few things we're going to talk about today. Jamal and I were talking about this thing because we hear so much about racism in America, systemic racism and everything. And then I was curious because the issue came up about the DNA exoneration. So that's why we're going to talk about that. And it's amazing what some of these numbers are and which group it applies to mostly. And it kind of confirms maybe some of the things that, you know, the general concerns out there about what's going on with these incarcerations and who's getting incarcerated more than others. So it's pretty interesting. Mass shootings, we're going to touch on that. Hopefully we'll have enough time today to touch on that with the characteristics of who the mass shooters are. Because that's important. You got to understand how that works, how that all fits together. We're going to be talking about some other things based upon the emails also. So some of those might be a little bit, take up some of the time, quite frankly. I thought these were pretty good selections. You know, we'll go from there. And, of course, we're going to do our blast and get into it. So, okay, so let's go ahead and get into this. But before I forget, I want to tell everybody happy Thanksgiving. Make sure that you stay socially distanced as best as you can, so to speak. I don't know. I mean, Jamal, what do you think? I mean, they got all these people talking about they're going to have their Thanksgivings as normal. I mean, I can't argue with them. I mean, it's whatever you want to do as a family.
Yeah, they supposedly got some kind of hotline out for the neighbors who want to call the police on their neighbors, man, that has too many people in their house, man. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. I don't know, man.
The only neighbor's going to do that, Jamal, as a police officer, I can tell you, there's neighbors out there that are very picayune with their other neighbors. I mean, you know, I saw it firsthand. And some of these neighbors don't get along with their other neighbors. So those people, to me, are going to be inclined, so to speak, to possibly do something. And because they don't like each other. So they don't even like each other. Fortunately, in that situation.
Hey, I love the fact that our governor is shutting it down out here in California, yet he was at a dinner party himself last week with no mask on.
Well, you know, the other side of that coin, Jamal, he also lied because he turned around and said it was an outdoor event. He got busted with that because it wasn't an outdoor event.
Right.
I'm actually going to be talking about him, as well. You know, this issues with this governor. But again, next week we will be on the air, everybody, because Thanksgiving is Thursday. Sunday we'll be on the air. So just to let you know that. Yeah. Got some exciting news this week, Jamal. As you know, I mentioned about my book coming out. So for my listeners, we actually have the publication dates and everything. It's going to be out in May. It's on Amazon already, but you have to pre-order on Amazon. And we're already getting a lot of pre-orders. So the name of if you go to Amazon and just Google Jim Potts, you up defense of a serial killer. Matter of fact, I found out the other day, Jamal, all I did was Google defense of a serial killer, and it all came up as well. So it's either
out
there on the internet. So it is out there. Anybody that gets a book and everything and wants me to sign it, we'll talk about it at that time. But they're already taking orders, so it's pretty exciting. The editor for Amazon chose this as one of his favorite crime stories as well. I don't think I told you that, Jamal, but that's selected as well. So that's pretty impressive. So I'm very happy with that. So we'll just see how it goes. All right.
Hey, congratulations, man.
Thanks. So it's on Amazon. Just go to Amazon. Just type in Jim Potts or defending a serial killer, and you'll see it, and it'll give you all the explanation as well. Look, the other thing I want to do is put this business about these new restrictions, by Governor Newsom. I want to put him on blast again. I just think that this guy is out of control. And now there is a major, major petition for his recall going around now. So if anybody's interested, and I know there's people out there that love the governor, so okay, that's fine, that's your thing, no problem. But for those of you that have issues with him, then if you just Google, you know, Governor Newsom recall, it'll come up, and you'll be able to see where you can fill out a petition online. You can do all of that. So I don't know, Jamal, what do you think? Does the guy go or does the guy stay?
No, the guy has to go, man. You know, before we talked about it, there's been like booths set up out here where I live at.
Oh, really? You know,
with signs saying we call the governor.
Wow. So,
and this was a couple months ago. You know,
well, what happened was it got delayed because Newsom apparently got them shut down. But then they went to court on the issue, and now the court's leaving it open for them to get the signatures. They're leaving it open until I think it's March. It's going to be in March. So the governor the court actually extended the amount of time to be able to get maybe he doesn't like him either. I don't know. But you know, he's like, yeah, get rid of this guy. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But at any rate, all you got to do is Google that and it will come up. If you feel that Governor Newsom, you know, has not been doing his job. You know, when that guy came in, he made a lot of promises. And, you know, and I don't think that he's kept some of those. I'll get into some of those. But
but he kept the one promise. To raise those taxes.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Well, one of the issues that they're talking about is the fact that he's taking the money, Jamal. Remember the money that was supposed to be earmarked for better roads, transportation, and all of that?
Right.
That money, he has diverted that money, from what I understand, over to other political things that he wants to get accomplished. See, people don't like that. The voters voted on that money. And some of them didn't realize what they were voting for, quite frankly. But that money was supposed to be earmarked to a certain, you know, to a certain area with transportation, better roads. And now he's diverting it to another direction.
And that's the problem with like a lot of these props that they have out here. I can only speak for California, man. A lot of those props and stuff, it says it's for something good and people vote on it. But there's a small print that says a portion of it might go to something else. And then that number increases once it's passed.
You know,
that happens quite a bit.
And you know what? I'll give another example of that real quick before we get into the rest of it, until we get into the emails. But you know, like when you go to the grocery store and they say, oh, do you want to donate a dollar to, let's just say, I don't know, to Jerry's Kids or whatever, as an example. Yeah. I found out from one of the managers at the grocery store that 90% of that money goes to the grocery store and only 10% of it. That's how they do that. As long as they do at least 10%. Then they can advertise that. So a lot of that money does not go where it's. So that's why I always tell them no. I just tell them I don't know where that money's going. Because that money's not all going to, quote unquote, Jerry's Kids or whatever, you know, breast cancer awareness and all of that. They're ripping us off with that. So no.
Right.
You know, that doesn't work at all. Okay, let's get into some of these emails. Jamal, do you have anybody you're putting on blast this week or anything?
I actually do got a blast. I got a blast and I got a shout out, man. This blast goes out to a man down in Miami who was unfortunately involved in domestic violence and was putting hands on his woman, his girlfriend, wife, whatever the case might be. Police spotted him. He takes off on foot, and while he's running on foot, he gets hit by a train, and it was actually torn into three different pieces.
Really?
Yeah,
you putting him on blast?
Yeah, I'm putting him on blast. You put your hands, that's karma at its finest. You beating up your woman. So I just want to say, man, I got a good heart. So rest in pieces to that man right there, man. And
rest in pieces. Well, I don't necessarily, look, the guy did wrong, man. I get that. You know, he should have paid the price. But I think getting hit by a train and knocked into three pieces is a little bit much, you know, for my taste. But we've actually done shows on domestic violence and domestic abuse and things of that
nature. Right. It's
a very serious issue in this country.
Right. And my special shout out this week is very special, man. I want to send a shout out to Pope Francis, who's under investigation by the Vatican right now. He's under investigation by the Vatican after hitting the like button on a bikini model on Instagram. So
Jamal, I can't talk about the Pope, man. I'm Catholic, man. What are you talking about?
I'm not talking. Hey, I'm giving him a shout out, man.
Yeah, you said put him on blast, though. I mean,
I said shout out to the Pope.
I'm sure that was by accident.
A shout out to the Pope, man. But he is under investigation for hitting the like button on a Brazilian bikini model, man.
Hey, we're moving on, man. Let's get to these emails. Well, you always got one that, man, has always got us, you know, tickled with these blasts and these shots. But anyway, let's get moving. Jim, I have to tell you, my husband and I have been getting quite a chuckle with the squad and Bernie making their demands on Biden. They are making it clear that they are going to control his presidency by pushing him far to the left. In plain talk, they help him win. He made promises, and now they're going to want their payback. This is going to be fun to watch. Stacy and Ken. Look, you know, it's true. I heard some things on the news this week. I mean, you know, Biden is making it clear. I think AOC is making it clear that their expectation is that since they helped Biden get elected, he's going to have to keep some promises. I had a quote from Bernie. It says, it seems to me pretty clear that progressive views need to be expressed within a Biden administration, Sanders told the Associated Press. It would be, for example, enormously insulting if Biden put together a team of rivals. And there's some discussions that that's what he intends to do, which might include Republicans and conservatives and Democrats, but which ignored the progressive community. And I think that would be very, very unfortunate. I mean, what is Bernie Sanders saying here? I mean, Bernie Sanders is saying that they do want their payback, and he considers, the other Republicans and the Democrats to be adversarial to that interest. I don't know, Jamal, what do you think?
Well, you know me, man. I'm a Bernie fan, man. Bernie really is an independent, in my opinion. I know he did run as a Democrat, but he was kind of forced to do that. I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, man. So when you talk about things like trying to give free education to those who can't afford it and stuff, I'm pro that. I don't want it to go too far left, even though that's considered far left. So we'll just see what happens, man. It'd be nice to see our tax dollars go to something that's actually worth it.
Well, first of all, I'm not so much of a Bernie fan because I think he is too far to the left, okay? And I think he's he's extremely progressive. So I'm not a Bernie fan. And I'm not an AOC fan either. But, the reality is, Jamal, we've talked about this before. I think all of these guys need to be somewhere in the middle. If we have people too far to the left, too far to the right, Jamal, nothing ever gets done. We got to get collectively where people come together, Jamal. The only way they're going to come together. And let me just say this about President-elect Biden. And yes, I am calling him president-elect because I think he's the elected president, okay? Whether, Trump likes it or not, or he's got the investigations going on, I just don't see any of that turn off. So I'm giving Biden his due respect by saying he's the president-elect. I think is what's going to happen here is that Biden, because he does have those political years of experience, Jamal, he knows people on both sides of the aisle. So I think that he is going to be at least willing, you follow what I'm saying, to sit down and talk about some things, which, could be a good thing for everybody. So I don't know that he's going to swing that far to the left. And the other side of the coin is, look at it this way. Biden is probably only going to, I don't think he's running for reelection. So he's only going to be there for 4 years. So what does he care if Bernie doesn't like the fact, he's not going to be up for reelection. So if you're upset, you're upset. What is he going to do about it? He can't do anything about it. And so it'll be interesting to see, because they've already started fighting back and forth. That's already been out there. So
yeah, of course.
With the Democrats, within themselves fighting about this thing, too far to the left and get rid of that. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But hey, if President-elect Biden, claims that he thinks that he can make it all work, well, okay, let's just see what happens is how I feel about it. He's the president-elect. He gets into office. Let's just see what happens. I don't think it's going to be that easy. I think that the squad is going to be putting a lot of pressure on him, and we'll see what happens. So at any rate, Stacy and Ken, well, you're chuckling. Some of us will probably be chuckling as well. We're just going to wait and see how that turns out. Okay, next one. Jim, do you honestly believe that President Trump is any conceivable path to victory. His lawsuits are ridiculous, and he needs to go about with more class. He needs to go out with more class than he has shown over the last 4 years. Jill, Lansing, Michigan. Look, do I think he's got a conceivable path? I think, Jamal, we've talked about this before. I don't see the fact that he's got a conceivable path. I don't necessarily feel that recounts are going to get him anywhere. If there's some legal issues out there that need to be addressed so things don't happen in the future, then I think that part is fine. Lawsuits can even extend, quite frankly, past his administration if there's some things that were done, improper. But I don't know that the election is going to, change anything. I don't think the results are going to change anything. Let's put it that way. Some of these recounts have already shown that the recount isn't going to change the outcome. And so do I think he should be more professional on the way out? Yes, I do. But in the same token, Trump is known for having an ego. So I don't know. Jamal, any thoughts on that at all?
I mean, ego and the childish, tension tantrum, man. You know what I mean? This is ridiculous. He doesn't even want to, let Joe Biden on all the, the secrets and things that that Joe Biden, president-elect, is supposed to know, all the national security situations and stuff like that. He's refusing to do it. I'm ready for them to throw him out on the ground, man. Like, seriously. You lost, bro. Get up out of here.
Jamal. Okay, man. I don't think it'll be that serious. I mean, although I've heard people say that that's, maybe what's going to have to happen, but I don't think that's going to happen. But you bring up a good point. I actually sent out a tweet this morning. So for any of you that want to get on my tweets, it's Jim Potts, author. But at any rate, so this morning I put out a tweet because Jamal, as you know, we talk, about international terrorism, domestic terrorism. This show actually started out talking about a lot of those different things. And I think that Joe Biden does have the security clearances. I think we've even mentioned it on the show before. If he's got the security clearances anyway, I mean, he was vice president of the United States. I think that throwing caution to the wind, I think that, he should do that. I mean, I don't think that's going to hurt anything. And we don't want any surprises. If people are watching the news, you see what's going on with ISIS and some of the things going on in Europe right now. So I think that, I think that Biden needs to have an insight as to things that are going on rather than Absolutely. Wait till the last minute. We don't want to get caught short. So I think I'm in agreement. I think that that's what they should do.
Right.
Yeah, I think that they should do that. He's not going to make the transition right now easy because he's still trying to debate some of these other issues, but certainly him being able to get updates on things on an international front, he should put the American people first and not his ego first, in my opinion.
Right. But when is the date? January 22nd?
Like January 20th, 22nd, somewhere around there, Jamal.
Okay. Yeah, I volunteered for that U-Haul company on that day in Washington, man.
Hey, man, like I said, I'm not going there. It's all good. I just don't think all this nonsense people talk about, they're going to have to drag them. I don't think it's going to come.
Let me make it clear. I'm not excited about Biden and Kamala Harris being in there either, but I just don't like what he's doing.
I get that.
I'm not a fan of this kind of activity.
Yeah, no, I fully understand that. I get it. I mean, to me, the nation should be, first,
not right. Absolutely.
And I don't see the big deal about that. I just think that if he does that, Jamal, that people are going to think that he's relinquishing, that he's giving up, or he's conceding the election if he does that part of it. So I think that's maybe why he's not doing it as well, to be honest.
Right.
But time will tell. And hopefully it won't make a difference. But, we do keep our eyes on what's going on in Europe with ISIS, because ISIS just did something yesterday or the day before and took credit for it, and a number of people got killed. All right. So, Jill, I hope that answers your question. All right. Jim, you and Jamal put Governor Newsom on blast last week. You were right. Yeah, we kind of talked about this already to do so. But take it a step further. There's a major recall effort going on right now. Please have people sign the petition to get rid of him. He has failed in his responsibilities and campaign promises. The homeless numbers are up. He is allocating money for gas tax that was supposed to, from fixing infrastructures toward other political goals. The more they can go online, and then it was signed by Clint from San Diego. Well, we kind of already talked about that.
Yeah.
That was already on my mind, quite frankly. And, you know, here's a person that is mentioning the same thing that we did. And, I don't know, hopefully people will go online, Jamal, and we'll figure out, you know, we've done it before. I think we did it with, was it Gray Davis? I think it was Gray Davis, you know, so Californians are known.
Right.
We've done it before. We'll do it again, you know, right. If it be. So at any rate, time will tell, but we'll make sure we follow that kind of close as well. All right. And we'll probably keep pushing it too, quite frankly. Cause I think he does have to go. I think who moves up if he goes? Is it the lieutenant governor? I don't know. I'm trying to remember what happened in the last time. Is it the lieutenant governor that gets to move up? And then I don't think it's an election. I don't think it's a special election. I think the lieutenant governor moves up and then somebody else is appointed to the lieutenant governor spot. I think is the way it works. I got to look that up, actually. At any rate, Jamal, let's talk about these DNA exonerations. Let me tell you guys why this issue came up also. Okay, so, you know, we've talked on the show before, and nationally there's an issue regarding African-Americans, as an example, being thrown in jail, and, you know, it's unfair, you know, it's all based on systemic racism. But, you know, with this book that I wrote on defending a serial killer, you know, and people either confessing, not confessing, it kind of drew me in that direction to look at some things with this DNA exonerations, because I've actually talked about DNA from a negative standpoint. So the regular listeners will know that I've said that if you have your DNA taken, Jamal, and you send it into like Ancestry.com, law enforcement, they're creating a database. I don't care what Ancestry says. My understanding is that information may not be destroyed, that these databases are being compiled. And we've actually caught criminals, okay, because of the DNA mapping that we're able to do, and that, you know, law enforcement is able to do. So they've actually caught some people. But the flip side of that is the positive aspects of DNA, you know, and how the evidence has actually helped people get out of jail. And, you know, we were amazed at the percentages of people that have gotten out of jail, because, I mean, you don't hear about it every day, you know. But, right. You know, we wanted to look at some of these numbers. So Jamal's going to give you some, I don't know, it's about 7 or 8 quick facts, so to speak. I'm sorry, Jamal, go ahead.
You know, real quick, before they started doing this Ancestry.com DNA stuff, I don't know if you remember, they was doing this thing with the police about getting your kids fingerprinted when they're real young. And right. You know what I mean? And it was just a case your child gets kidnapped and things like that. Man, come on, bro. You know what this is about. At least I knew what it was about. You know what I mean?
Well, we did that, Jamal. You were fingerprinted and also your footprint.
Man, y'all ain't fingerprinted me, man. But look, I did. You know, I do have fingerprints in the system because I got, you know, gun permits and stuff like that. So you got to do like a live scan. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's on my own accord, though. So anyway, getting back to the DNA exonerations, man. 375 DNA exonerations.
Hold on a second. I want to back up for a second about the children, though, okay? Because we've done some episodes. Well, this is before you came, you know, on the air. But I've talked about the security of children and things of that nature. And I've talked about the fingerprinting and other things that parents can do, even getting dental records on file. There's a lot that parents can do to protect their children. And Jamal, the kid, maybe I should revisit that, because it's been almost a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer since I even did that, on how parents can protect their kids. But it is important, Jamal, about the, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it is important because there are a lot of kids that are kidnapped every year. Right. And a lot of times it's by people that are very close to them. So I would really not discourage anybody from doing that. We're not going to go into this with the assumption that the reason why the police, I mean, I understand what you said, that the police feel that would be or people feel that they're doing it because they can catch people, you know, as criminals later on. Well, you know, the reality is they don't commit the crimes. They ain't got to worry about it. And you know, when the child is born, no parent is thinking that their child, okay, is going to be, you know, like a serial killer. I mean, you know, Michael Madsen, yeah. who's the person I've represented, his parents didn't know he'd be a serial killer. Right. You know, so all the reasons for doing it are the right reasons. How it gets used, as long as they, you know, walk the line, this shouldn't be an issue. But anyway, right. Jamal, so let's jump into this. Give us some of these quick facts here before we get into the more detailed stuff on this.
Okay, 375 exonerations were done. Out of those 375, 37 states in our country, exoneration cases were actually won and cases were thrown out. 14 years was the average number of time served for people that was actually exonerated. That's a lot. 14
right,
years,
they did 14
man.
Hard years. And the whole time, you know, they were yelling, I'm innocent. But, you know, everybody in prison yells, I'm innocent. So
that's the most safest place in the world, man, is prison, man, because everybody in there didn't do it. But,
that's right.
For a total of 5,284 total numbers of years served for innocent people. That, you know, that's a lot. 26 years old was the average age of wrongful convictions. 43.
Now, let's back up on that, Jamal. So if the average age at the time of conviction was 26, now think about that. And the average time served was 14. That puts them at the age of 40, those years of being in your 20s. Because in your 20s, yeah. mid-range 20s, that's when people think about marriage, having kids. I'm not saying somebody can't have a kid at 40, okay? But look how much you're going to miss.
Yeah. As an innocent person. Yeah.
And being an innocent person. So, I mean, that's the prime of their life for all practical purposes.
43 years old was the average age that they was exonerated.
Oh, okay. So
which you just mentioned.
Right. I mean, look at what they've missed at that point.
21 out of 375 people actually served time on death row. Now, that's scary because, you know, how many people were actually, you know, could have been executed and were innocent.
You know, 44. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So you're right. There could have been people on death row that were executed. No DNA was available at that time, I think is what I just heard you say.
Right.
So that truly would be horrible. I mean, there's people that have gone to their death, you know, claiming their innocence. There's no doubt about it, and there's no way to prove it. So that is a shame. Go ahead.
44. Now, this one's interesting. 44 out of the 375 pled guilty to crimes they didn't commit. Now people don't understand how this kind of stuff happens, man. Like, how could you plead guilty? There's a lot of ways you get tricked into it. You know what I mean? There's
poor a lot of ways. That,
huh?
Poor representation. Jamal,
poor representation.
And this is not to say something negative about public defenders, okay? But the amount of information, Jamal, or the amount of evidence against a person could be circumstantial. It could be enough where they turn around and tell their client, look, here's the deal. The deal is, do you want to take a chance? Here's what's going on. So now they come to them with a deal, okay? And the deal is the person's not going to be, you know, sent away for 30 years. The person's not going to get the death sentence. You know, you do 5 years, 10 years, and you're out. So that's probably a part of the plea bargaining process. This is just an opinion, of course, without making it this harder. It's probably part of the plea bargain that people do. Some people simply don't want to take a chance. You're telling me that even though I'm innocent, I could get convicted and do 30 years as opposed to taking a deal. I'm out in 5 and 5 years probation. I mean, do the math.
Right. I've actually known a couple people who took sentences. You know, just because they had a date, it was either you might be risking life in prison or do 5 to 10 years in prison. You know, and a lot of people take the date to get out. from what I understand.
I think that's a plea bargain what I was just talking about. I think that's consistent with that.
Right.
Anybody that wants to call in and has any opinions about this, the numbers are right here, 1-669-900-6833. The meeting ID is up here as well, 818-8144-1240. And the passcode is 922-860. At any rate, it's here. You can see it. So if anybody has any comments about this, you know, we always welcome the calls. So Jamal, so 44 of the 375 pled guilty to crimes they did not commit.
69% of the people that was exonerated, they were misidentified by eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
You know, which is very possible, man. You know, and a lot of pressure gets put. I would imagine a lot of these witnesses feel a lot of pressure also. You know what I mean? To make sure, because what if that person is guilty and you're responsible for freeing that person or not? You know what I mean? I would imagine there's a lot of pressure on that, you know, for very violent crimes and things like that.
Well, let me break down this 69%, Jamal, because this 69%, just to let them know, okay, is that 34% of these misidentifications that involve in-person lineups. Now, the regular person has probably seen lineups on TV or whatever the case may be, but an in-person lineup just simply means it's like you see on TV. You got six guys that come in, and, you know, the way that the law works for their protection, Jamal, you know, if the robber was, you know, let's just say, you know, 6 feet tall, okay, and now here the suspect, that's, you know, is 6 feet tall. You can't go in there and put two guys in at five feet tall and two other guys in at 7 feet tall. Okay.
Right. Because
what's they going to say? Well, it's the guy right there. You know, it's the six footer. Okay. So these things have to be done to protect the suspect because he's not been convicted of anything. So the heights, the measurements, all those kind of things all have to be pretty much consistent. But it's amazing that 34% of these involved in-person lineup. That's somebody looking at somebody and saying, you did it. Now, let me tell you what my concern is with that. My concern is, and, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too heavy into the, you know, to the African-American and this and that. But there are people, you know, who say, you know, they all look alike type of thing, which we know is not true. Okay. So to me, some of that is a person looks at somebody and they've got some similar characteristic. And end of story. He's the one. Okay.
Right.
You know, that's where, you know, possibly some of this is coming from also. The next one is 52% involved a misidentification from a photo array. So let me explain. You guys, again, you probably have seen this on TV. Here, a person turns around and shows five photos. All right. Six photos, seven photos, eight photos. And, you know, you're supposed to go through and pick the person out. Well, when are they sitting down to do that, Jamal? It's just an hour later, 30 minutes later, 2 days later. Somebody's got to gather the photo array. How long did that take to get that? And the person looking at it, how old were they? Were they in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s? And they're like trying to remember who this was. And they boy, I think this is the guy, you know? So, you know, it's not hard to believe that that kind of thing doesn't happen. Now, only 7%. Now, here's what's interesting. 7% of that involved misidentification from the mugshot book. Now, that's somebody sitting there, as you see, flipping through the pages. But this appears to be very accurate because if you think about it, it says 7%. 7% is low.
Yeah.
Okay? 7% is low. So somebody, you know, so I think that that's good because that percentage is low. 16% involved the misidentification from a show-up procedure. Now, let me explain what a show-up procedure. Show-up procedure is, as I recall, is when you have an individual and, you know, he's there, okay? The crime was just committed, and that person, the victim, that they'll sit in the car, as I recall. You follow what I'm saying? Now, the suspect doesn't see the person, but the person's looking out the window, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he could be 10 feet away, whatever the case may be. So that's what the show-up, I believe that's what the show-up procedure, if memory serves me correct. If anybody out there knows better, you know, text me or whatever the case may be. 5% involved misidentification from one-on-one photo procedure. Well, a one-on-one photo? I don't know. 27% involved a misidentification through the use of a composite sketch. Now, a composite sketch, what did he look like? Well, you know, he was tall, he was this, I was that. His nose was flatter, his nose was bigger, his lips were wider, his lips were smaller. I don't know, okay? These numbers to me are amazing. 11% involved a voice misidentification. Voices. Yeah, I think that was his voice.
Right.
I mean, 2%. Are you ready for this one? Through hypnosis. Wow. I was like, so they get hypnotized and they've got the whole picture there? I don't know. That's why the percentage is low, because they probably don't do that much. Right. So I don't know. Mistaken identity is one of them. 77% of the misidentification involved multiple procedures. Okay, so they must have done different things. That 77% multiple procedures, that means they went through all of these different things and still got it wrong. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. The biggest one, 84% of the misidentification involved a misidentification by a surviving victim. So mm-hmm. now you're talking about a victim that wants their pound of flesh. He did it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's a high number.
I can't think of the name of it. That's like kind of like the incident that happened in New York. What was it called? The Gen something six. The ones that it was a big thing. Trump wanted them convicted and put an ad in the paper. They even made a movie about it. It was a woman that was violently raped, and they were all
Trump. You mean when prison. He was president?
No, not when Trump was president. No, long before he became president. It happened in New York Park. They even made a movie about it. Called
was
when
that the woman that got raped or killed while she was running through Central Park or something? Was that
right? That one. Hmm. Central Park Five. That's what it's called. The Central Park Five.
Okay.
And thank you for that. You know, and they actually pled guilty, and it was a big misunderstanding. And then come to find out, they didn't do it. You know, and they were freed later on, but after doing like over 10 years or something like that. So these kind of things do happen.
Yeah, I just got a text, a chat, it confirmed it was a Central Park Five.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Look.
Let's back up for a second, because we made a comment, and it's a serious comment, but it's not really a joke, and I don't want to sound racist or nothing, because we made the comment about, you know, everybody looks alike and stuff like that. If you're not part of a culture, I can see how that happens. And I'm going to give an example. I was looked at homicide detectives years ago, came looking for me because I was technically witnessing close to a murder that happened. And a guy was stabbed to death. And this was in the Asian community. And I'm not trying to be funny or anything. And I was like within like literally 1 foot of the guy. I would not have been able to pick that guy out in the lineup unless he had some kind of identifying scar or anything like that. And, you know, they wanted me to come down, but, you know, they wanted me to come down. I never went down there or nothing like that. And they wanted me to look at some photos and things. I never got involved in that, you know, didn't make it that far, you know. But honestly, I don't want to sound like that, but I'm not a part of the Asian community.
You know,
and I could have easily misidentified.
That is a common issue. I'll tell you a story that happened to me. I was at a hearing one time, and the parties were, you know, non-English speaking. The judge comes out and says, "Oh, Mr. Potts, are you here? You got your client?" I'm like, "Yes, I do, Your Honor." He said, "Okay. Go over there," and he pointed to a woman and said, "Go over there and tell the interpreter, okay, that we're all ready to go, okay, and that she needs to talk to the other party's client." And I said, "Well, okay, you know, I mean, the judge asked me to do that." I go over to the woman, Jamal, and say, "Yeah, the judge just, you know, just came out and said, hey, could you go over there and talk to the person so you could, you know, read the file, you know, with them and their representative," whatever the case was. And the person looks at me and says, "What? He's Korean. I'm not Korean. I'm such and such." And she got very indignant. I'm like, "Wait a second. The judge told me, okay, to go over there and tell you." I mean, I don't know. You follow what I'm saying? So the judge got it wrong. Okay. Thinking that right. This person and that person was the same. But Jamal, I give seminars on diversity. And that's right. One of the things that I do talk about. If you're outside of a group sometimes, it is hard to identify, you know, especially people of the, you know, of the Asian culture. You know, some people can't tell the difference between maybe somebody from China, somebody's Korean, somebody's Japanese.
I've been mistaken for Polynesian or Samoan. I've been mistaken for Hispanic, you know, number of times. I had a Hispanic guy that just started talking to me in Spanish. And I, are you talking to me? You don't speak Spanish? No, man.
Well, Jamal, you're a big guy, so I understand about the Polynesian piece of it, you know. But I don't know about the other part, but you know, whatever the case may be. But those things, unfortunately, do happen. Let's get through some more of this because, as usual, the time is running. But, Jamal, here's what I thought was interesting. 43% involved misapplication of forensic science. Okay. Wow. So, to me, I thought that the forensic, you know, I mean, those are the scientists. They you know, they should have gotten it right. And then they also have had false confessions, which is interesting because they said 49% of the false confessions were 21 years old or younger at the time of the arrest. So now you got to think how much, you know, pressure may have been applied to those individuals. You follow what I'm saying? For them to turn around and say, you know, hey, yeah, I did it. Who knows?
Here's another thing which you may or may not know, like especially involving the gang culture, man. Let's just say you riding around with some other gang members that already got like two strikes and you one of the ones in the car that don't have a strike.
They
expect you to take the hit.
Right.
As you got a strike to give. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that happens too. Hmm.
Well, the last thing on that percentage here, Jamal, is that 9% of the false confessions had mental health or mental capacity issues. Now, that's not hard to believe, you know. Now, out of all of these, 268 of these DNA exonerees were compensated. And I know that I even talked about that on the show one time, that these people do get compensated. But some of them, they've taken the money and, you know, blown the money, so to speak. But I saw a couple of them. I saw a special one time on some of them that took the money and they've got successful businesses going on, which, you know, that's a good thing, you know, from that perspective. But Jamal, but tell us the demographics of these 375 people. Who, you know, what nationalities were these individuals?
Of the 375, 225 of them were African American. That makes up 60% of these exonerated people were African American. 117 of the 375, which is 31%, were Caucasian.
Well, I want to go back to this other one, Jamal. This goes back to the argument that people make regarding, is this systemic racism out there? You're talking 60% of these people, Jamal, that got off due to DNA, due to DNA testing or whatever the case may be, were African-American.
Right.
Now, that to me lends itself to the issue of, you know, is there an issue here, quite frankly? I don't know. Right. 60%, that's a pretty high number.
That is. It's pretty alarming. You know what I mean? I mean, now, one could argue, you know, it's only 225 people out of three, you know, out of the millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people, rather, that's been arrested. You know what I mean?
Now, millions but is still, a better word, but yeah.
Yeah, but still.
Years.
It sucks if you wanted the 225, man, because going to prison is not an easy task. This is not. And a lot of people don't come out the same person that they was when they went in.
Yeah, that's exactly what they say. But 60%, that is an extreme high number. And, you know, again, that's worth taking a closer look at some point, because why? Why was that number so high? And, you know, what would be interesting, what we don't have available is what states these were in, Jamal. Because I can't imagine this is in Iowa. You follow what I'm saying? So, yeah. I don't want to point any fingers at the southern states or here and there, but it'd be interesting to know. I may do some research on that, actually, to find out exactly where they were from. So keep going, Jamal.
The rest were Asian, like more than 1%.
Wait, the Caucasian you mentioned. What was the Caucasian
one? Oh, I'm sorry, Caucasian. 117 of the 375, which is 31%, were Caucasian that were exonerated.
So there, again, there's a disparity, because now they're half of what, look, this, the argument that some people make is that, quote unquote, and I don't want to get all the hate mail, that some people from the African community, African American community, they commit more crimes. So therefore, these percentages would be higher because more of them in jail, because more of them commit crimes. Okay. I can't buy into that as a concept, because there's a lot of people that, you know, from those communities that don't go to jail, you know. Right. So, but when you look at a number like this, it may deserve looking further into why 60%. So 1/3 of Caucasians. What's the rest of them, Jamal?
8% were Latino, and the rest were like Asian, like 1% or 2%. The rest of them were very low.
So the majority of it is between Caucasians and African Americans. And again, African Americans being 60%, those numbers are high. You know, I'm getting text messages from somebody saying about the fact that she is Latino, you know, Latina, and, you know, people, you know, don't identify her. I mean, look, these things happen, and we get that, you know.
Right.
So sometimes you can't tell people's nationalities, and now you have a lot of mixed marriages going on. So some of the kids, you may not be able to tell, you know, what nationality they are, and they even allow for some percentages for that.
I've seen Muslim people, Middle Eastern people, actually, you know, able to pass for Latino. You know what I mean? It happens, man. It happens. Let me ask you a question though, Mr. Potts. With all of these DNA exonerations and stuff like that, and people been falsely accused and stuff, is it possible? Just is it possible that OJ was actually innocent?
OJ who? Who are you talking about? I don't know anybody named OJ.
OJ Simpson.
You mean the guy that killed his wife? The guy that slashed his wife, killed his wife, and killed, you know.
He was found innocent, but
Mr. Goldman, Jamal, I gotta tell you, I understand, Jamal. In all honesty, I don't even want to get into about OJ, because my opinion is that OJ was guilty of homemade sin. Okay, I believe to this day that he may have done it. That's just my opinion. People always want to ask, you know. I think what happened with the trial, Jamal, was mishandled. That was really the bottom line. Chris Darden and Marsha, they were doing things on the side, you know, as a couple that they shouldn't have been doing. You know, Marsha Clark, you know, they both after this she's up in, I think, in Nevada or someplace. You know, she left after that.
Don't forget Mark Furman.
You know, Mark Furman, you know, all of this stuff, Jamal, in my opinion. But see, that's the problem with the judicial system. There are mistakes that people make. They can go to trial. Here we're talking about people that got exonerated, okay, that were complete, I mean, because they were innocent and they went through the trial, possibly through the complete trial process. And here's a guy, in my opinion, that I do think that he, you know, that he was guilty. You know, as you know, he lost a civil suit. Okay, well, he lost a civil suit because of what? Wrongful death. So that lends itself to the fact that he did it. It's just that the DA, you know, couldn't prove that he did it. So it doesn't mean he didn't do it just because he got off on that. But under the eyes of the law, you know, he was deemed to be innocent of the crime. Okay, in terms of criminal. You know, so it is what it is. You know, I think he's keeping a low profile now. Living somewhere in Florida, I think it is.
He's actually been doing a lot on Twitter and stuff like that, man. It's been pretty interesting, man.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jamal, I'm really not a fan of his. I wouldn't care what he was doing. If he was working at a circus and walking behind the elephants with a shovel, okay?
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't really, you know, don't like what he did. I haven't liked him, Jamal, since, well, never mind. You know the story about you and him out there at Dodger Stadium when you were a little kid. And he refused to give you an autograph. I mean, so I'm not a fan of his anyway.
Right.
At any rate, look, here's the difference. This has been going on since 1989, guys, and there's been tens of thousands of cases where prime suspects were identified and pursued until DNA testing came out, meaning that they did have some people who, in fact, were suspects. So the DNA was able to prove that they were not the right suspect. So those are people, Jamal, that's not included in the statistics that we talked about.
Right.
And I see that our time is up. You know, so at any rate, Jamal, you got any final words for the listeners for today?
Hey, man, once again, you know, be safe. Happy holidays and, you know, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, I wanted to tell you congratulations on the Redskins winning today, man. And go Redskins on Thanksgiving.
Are they playing Thursday?
They're playing the Cowboys.
Oh, they're doing Turkey Bowl. Okay, well, you know, I'll be watching that. All right, everybody, as usual, thank you so much for listening to us. We want you to be safe for these holidays. Do the social distancing things as best you can. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, guys, and we will be broadcasting next week. Please be safe.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.